Welcome, welcome to another episode of From the Roots Up. I'm Sean Frame, and this week we're going to continue our discussion of immigration with Tomas Evangelista. If you listened to our last episode, you heard part one of our conversation on immigration with Tomas, his journey as an immigrant coming into this country, and all the experiences he's had, the things he's done, and what he's brought to this community and this region and even this nation. This week, we're going to continue that story. You're going to get to hear even more of his story, which is frankly amazing. I learned things about Tomas that I didn't even know, and I've known Tomas quite a long time. We're going to get more into that story, and we're also going to hear more about his personal journey and how it helped him become an advocate for immigrants. We're also going to get some real insight into what the immigrant's experience is like, what things look like from an immigrant's perspective, and what you can do to support immigrants in our community. Are you ready? Let's dive into Immigration Part 2 with Auburn native Tomas Evangelista on this week's From the Roots Up. This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net.
We had a great day. Even though we forgot to eat, and you had
here's a little, you know, 6-year-old Tomas, you know, in Auburn, and starting out in school, and you know, and the hardest probably moment of your life. Probably never imagined that someday you would be in the halls of power of the United States government, right? Like, what a crazy! Did you ever just wake up in a room when you were talking to people and have this realization, like? Little Tomas never would have had this.
I did.
I mean, it must have been wild.
It was. I soaked it all in, and it was. Again, it just reminds me of like how this country. You know, if you have faith and if you work hard, of course, also luck. I mean, there's sometimes like that is also needed. But I just had faith that I needed to speak out and that something good will happen out of that. And the other people came through. But I do also want to mention that I was also inside the Supreme Court hearing when DACA was brought up as the oral argument for that case. Now, being inside the Supreme Court is one thing, because I think you can get in. You know, there's long lines.
It's in the gallery. Yeah.
But being in there, hearing your own case, like your own argument for your life, was something else. And hearing the voices, of course, of the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg and other people like speak up for you. I mean, it was powerful, and I'll never forget it. And it was just amazing. Of course, in that situation, the Supreme Court ruled in our favor and DACA was saved. But it was also because of the many people that stepped up. I know we still don't have a solution, permanent solution for DACA recipients, young people, or the larger immigration crisis or situation. But I always mention that saving the program was a huge win. When we didn't have hope to have that program, I mean, we're still going through court cases, but people have been able to benefit, have been able to contribute. That is just because of everyone that went out and protested, everyone that wrote their congressman, everyone that made some noise for us. And I'm always reminded about that moment, which is a huge moment. And I think it's just something that we need to continue doing, showing up more, doing more, connecting with other people is what we need to do.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like everything else, right? It's not something that happens overnight.
Right.
And it's not something that you can count on remaining permanent without just keeping a close eye on it and making sure that there's somebody there to always push and shepherd things along in the right direction. Ask anybody who's worked on civil rights, you know, they never thought that they would be fighting for voting rights again. And yet here we are, right? They never thought that they would be fighting for a woman's right to choose. And yet here we are. So, you know, it can move in the right direction. You have to really, really push hard, and then you have to also stay there, stay in the fight and stay engaged and make sure that it doesn't slide back. because they're the forces of injustice are always out there, it seems like, ready to fight you and to push things back the way they were.
Here where you are standing, the dinosaurs did the dance. The Indians told the story, now it has come to pass. The Indians had
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
So let's talk a little bit about, so going into the most recent presidential election, not too long before that, and in a weird way, I think many would say this may have determined some of the outcome of the election. There was a fight about immigration policy, and it was kind of fought to a stalemate. What did you think about what was happening then? I'll tell you, my personal take was like, what on earth are they fighting for? Like, it seems like this is not, even if it passes, it would be not good for a lot of people and not getting anywhere close to solving the actual challenges we have with our immigration policy. But what was your take on it?
You're talking about what was proposed in 2024, right? Last year, where it was like
leading up to the election, right? Literally, yeah, in the spring before the election. Yeah.
Well, I was, that was not a good bill. It was, I think, limiting, getting rid of the asylum process. It was providing, I think, more funding for border defense, which was needed. I think it increased immigration judges, which is something that was needed. But mm-hmm. I don't think there was anything that was going to give any immigrant, undocumented immigrant, an opportunity to apply. I think that is what shocked me. I understood the political, move of putting that up for it, because it took away, I think, President Trump's, use of that issue. I was shocked that it wasn't. It was everything on a platter for the people that were against immigration, and it was, I was disappointed, but then once I understood why it was done, I was like, okay, it's a huge risk, and I hope it pays off, because that would be very difficult, especially for people that were seeking asylum, which I mentioned earlier, where, in my opinion, I think are people that are in very desperate, more desperate situations than what I was in. And I mean, the fact that that wasn't passed, I think, proves a larger point that people don't actually want to solve it. Mm-hmm. They want to use it. And you can make an argument on the other side as well, I think, for people like the Democratic Party that maybe also doesn't want to solve it, but use it as something to rally people together. I mean, I don't believe that, but there's that argument as well. And I like to play devil's advocate as well on mm-hmm. some of the issues.
Yeah, I think you could say that there's a few things where if they solve them, they lose one of their better organizing issues. And cynically, there's probably those in those rooms that you and I never get into, where these cynical conversations happen. I have no doubt that does happen. Is that the entire thing? I sure hope not, right? I believe that people are better than that. But
But that was in a situation for the other side to get a win, to restrict immigration, and it wasn't taken. So I was like, oh, they're just using it for a campaign tool for the presidential election and hopefully for other tools. And I just want to also mention, I think it's important because now that we're in the situation now, like, you know, there's people that say, hey, Tomas, I just support legal immigration, like as long as you do it legally, you know, but then they're not speaking out that legal immigration has been cut drastically this year, not just with refugees, but also with pass for others to come to this country. So like if you are saying I'm only supportive of legal immigration, then you should speak out on also what's going on to quote unquote the legal immigration. So that is happening at an alarming level and things are changing on that. So like, I mean, we have in that, in my opinion, like a mutual agreement that we should also, in my opinion, I think that's how you solve actually the immigration crisis. You increase legal pass to do that. That's how you actually limit people of coming here, because then there's a vetting process. Now, I know that that I don't know if that will happen, but I think, in my opinion, that is really how you create a more just and true immigration system.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening. From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Six Pack. Crack open some change and support the candidates and causes we need in these times. Paid for by The Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And this I know, his teeth as white as snow. What a gas it was to see him. Walker every day into a shady place. With her lips she said, hey, Paul, let's have a ball. Hey, Paul.
In the past, there's been a quota system, and each country has an allocated number of immigrants that they can come in, they can immigrate into this country. And that is independent of very obvious things like geographical considerations. Like Mexico is our immediate neighbor. Canada is our immediate neighbor. The rational thing to say would be we probably should realistically allow more people from our immediate neighbors to come in than some right. people from a small country in another part of the world, right? You could balance that year for year, right? Like there is a rational way to approach the number of people who come in and what kinds of visas they have. And, you know, are they coming in on a student visa? Are they coming in on a tourist visa for an extended stay? Are they coming in on some other kind of work visa? And there's a whole bunch of different kinds of those, right? Like, point being, like the system we have is totally not rational. It punishes the people who live the closest. So, I mean, I remember that people were saying, oh, yeah, you know, I think it was Doris was told by a member of Congress, oh, why don't you just go back to your country and come back the right way? She's like, go back to a country where I haven't lived since I was a little tiny kid and wait 15 years.
Right.
Like that is not that. I mean, you can say that. And maybe for those people who want to punish people for immigrating, that's a real satisfying answer. But like, that doesn't get at the problem, and it encourages people to find another way to enter. Right. Right. To treat people like that, the pressure is still there. Whatever it was that motivated people to come here in the first place, that doesn't go away. And so if you tell them 15 years, go away and then come back, like, nobody's going to do that. I mean.
And I also think that there's this fairy tale story of like, well, my great-great-grandparents did it the right way. I'm like,
oh, yeah.
You know, well, they just came and wrote their name on a book. You know, and
yeah,
sorry to, you know, I'm sure they had a tough journey as well, but like, it's not as it was today, and the right way has become overly complicated and taking so long and puts people in danger. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think
unnecessarily so.
Right, unnecessarily so. And yeah, I think so.
But now we would be remiss if we didn't talk about what's going on now. And I think you and I both knew, you probably on a more visceral level than me, that when this administration came in, they were going to take an aggressive approach. Were you shocked by what happened? And are you shocked as to what's happening right up to this very moment with the way this administration is pursuing people who've come to this country?
It's worse than I had imagined, to be honest. I think, you know, here being in Auburn and Placer County, we don't see that in person. But if you've seen what's going on in the larger cities, ICE agents jumping out of trucks, just grabbing whoever, people being shot at that, you know, aren't putting that immigration officer's life in danger, just the violence and the lack of also a thorough background check of these immigration officers, some, you know, being criminals and actually people that may be racist or been a part of like
white supremacist groups.
Right. It's I can't even put it into words, because I think when you give those people this power over others, it's very difficult. It's I don't think it's right. And I think it's hard to describe, but I was really shocked, and it's getting worse. And the fact that recently there were comments made that the immigration system or the immigration officers aren't going far enough, you know, in apprehending people. I mean, I don't know what that means, but that is even scarier. And, you know, up until this point, I held back on speaking out publicly.
Look, they're threatening citizens and, you know, they're threatening people who have permanent residency here for the crime, quote, crime of speaking up. So, yeah, that's legitimate fear, right? Like, our president threatened to deport the guy who's now the elected mayor of New York City. Like, just think about, I mean, that to me, that's chilling. You think like, he's just joking. I don't know, man. I haven't seen the guy joke very much.
Like, right.
When he says something aggressive like that, the people that he's put into place and maybe not particularly well background checked or maybe intentionally not background checked, they respond in kind. They do these things. The Supreme Court has now said that it is okay to profile people based on how they look and arrest first and ask questions later. And I just don't know many people who were citizens here who carry around the citizenship identification. Like, I don't walk around with a passport in the back of my pocket. It's easy for me as a white dude not to think about that, right?
Right.
But, I mean, if my skin were darker, I think I would feel compelled to do so, right? So that I could bring it out. But maybe you reach to bring it out and somebody just beats you down And then you're in jail or God knows where for, you know, a period of time. Like it's really chilling to me.
It is, but I think it's done on purpose to make people fear, and so that people don't stand up for others, so that they think, okay, they're going to get that person. I'm okay. So then I won't speak up. And that, like, to me, like, I'm reminded that we all need to speak up. And that's why, you know, today and hopefully in other days, I'm able to speak to groups. And it's just to connect, to share my story so that they know what to do, so that they are, they're able to get also encouraged. Because some people, you know, we all live in these little bubbles and we feel like we don't know. And I think we just need to get to know each other more. Because I think that is building communities the way that we fight this back, that we help each other. Because if someone is taken, then we all need to stand up, we still have the First Amendment. And so we need to speak up, we need to show up, and we need to just make sure that nobody gets taken. So I'm working on other things. I'm hoping in the future we're able to provide some legal assistance to some families. Because that is the first line of defense. But I think it starts with me being out in public. And I am. I'm a permanent resident now, Sean. I have more protection than I did when I was little. But I hope to be a citizen soon. So, I mean, I want to use every right, every privilege that I gain as I go through my life to help others.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
We don't need no truth, got plenty, now it grows on trees. God, I'm glad it's not a race I'd lose.
One of the things you taught me, Tomas, early on and stuck with me is that there are a lot of people who can't in this time have a voice to tell their story as you have with us today. What are the things that those people would tell our listeners if they had the chance to sit where you sit now? What would they want people to know? That's a lot of pressure on you, but yeah. I mean, to speak for others, right? But I know that this is something you told me. You said, Sean, you got to vote right for me because until I'm a citizen, I don't get to vote. And I was like, okay, and that means I got to get some other people on board too because I'm just one vote. And, you know, there's you and your friends and lots of other people I've met. I got to make sure we're bringing them all with us. So what are what do you think that the folks that you connect with out in the community who won't be able to sit where you are right now would want people to know?
I think there's a large appreciation for this country, for the opportunities that it's giving to their children. Many parents come here to sacrifice themselves for their children. And I don't mean sacrifice in a way that they're going to die or go to jail or something. What I mean is like they sacrifice their hard work to give an opportunity so that they hope that their child gets an education and is safe and does well. And there's this amount of gratitude and thankfulness for this country that exists. And I think it's a patriotism that's not be able to share. I know that people make a big deal about people carrying a Mexican flag, but they also love this country just as much as the country that they left. This is their adoptive country. And given the opportunity, I think they would say that they love the United States, that they love what this country stands for, what it gives. And it gives in rights and in opportunity. So I think that's what they would say. I think they would say thank you. and that they want to be a part of this community. So that's what I think people will want to say.
Yeah, that Mexican flag thing, man, it gets me. I lived in San Francisco for like 9 years in an Irish American neighborhood. Yeah. Some of these people, fifth generation Irish Americans, there was nowhere you couldn't go without seeing an Irish flag, right? And nobody was like, oh, why are you flashing that Irish flag? Don't you love America? Like, of course, you know, it'd be usually right, like right next to American flag. And this, you know, right. Like, so yeah, that notion that, oh, somehow that diminishes your love for this country is, you know, go to Little Italy in New York or go to North Beach in San Francisco. You see Italian flags every 2 feet you walk. And, you know, none of those people would tell you that they don't love America because yeah. they love their Italian heritage. Right. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's, we know where that's coming from. I think I'm just going to dismiss that, but that's cool. Yeah. That's nice that I think people should know that just because somebody hasn't been given the right to become a full-fledged American citizen doesn't mean that they don't love this place that they sacrificed so much to get to and right. to stay in. So I think that's beautiful, man.
To make a mountain of your life is just a choice, but I never learned enough to listen to the voice that told me always love. Hate will get you every time. Always love. Don't wait till the finish line.
If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening.
I want to jump next to a little bit about what you've been doing yourself for these past few years, like what kind of advocacy you've been doing. Both for immigrants and with Evangelista Community Relations. And then maybe we'll wrap up with a little bit of talk about what people can do, how people can connect on this issue, what people can do to help the immigrants in their community, and what people maybe can do to advocate for better policy. But you don't have to remember all that. We'll just start with what you've been doing, connecting the dots from your advocacy, from being, you know, sort of thrust into this role just by virtue of your life journey and what you're doing now.
No, thank you. Yeah, like I mentioned earlier, that I started Evangelista Community Relations to connect to people. I built it up through skills that I learned on the campaign trail, you know, the reaching people at the doors over the phone. I think there's marketing, of course, where, you know, you can have a big fancy ad on TV or elsewhere where other people see it, but it doesn't be just person-to-person connection. So I thought that I'd start this because there's cities, there's nonprofits that want to reach people. And I did that also. My first big job was at the 2020 census, because there was a need to count people all over the place, especially in our rural areas. I'm not just talking about our immigrants, but also in rural areas, there are people there that, you know, for, I guess they're in a rural area away from the big cities on purpose. You know, they don't want to be bothered. So I worked to reach them, to let them know the census is coming, that it's happening. And then also when COVID, the COVID crisis happened, there was a need to get people information of where they can get vaccinated. So we also did a little bit of that. And then, of course, there's the campaign work where we want people to know about good candidates in the area. So I worked and built strategies for local candidates, and I do that now. But it's just the main thing is just being able to reach people and connecting them, giving them important information. And so that is kind of what I focus on right now. And it's allowed me to be successful and to be able to purchase a home and do all that. And I'm so grateful. I mean, whenever I think about another job, like a 9 to 5, which is great, there's stability, but I think I would get really bored. I love what I do, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Well, certainly I've been the beneficiary of your passion and your skills. I've also been I worked for you and gone out and done
Really?
that work too. I've been, so I've learned from you. I hope the experience that you've had, on my campaigns was helpful in your journey to this place, but I've learned a lot from you too. And it's been a really good and symbiotic relationship we've had doing community or type work together over the years, and seeing you grow into that role to the place you are now has been just awesome for me. I mean, I might be old enough to be your dad, but I don't, I've never felt like
I see you
that.
more as
I've
my
always felt
brother.
like we were peers. You know what I mean? Like,
I see you more as my brother, so I'll tell you that.
yeah, good. I'll take that. I just had a birthday. I'm feeling a little insecure about that, so.
This episode of From the Roots Up is brought to you by The Torch Club, Sacramento's premier live music venue every Wednesday to Sunday. Check them out at 904 15th Street in Sacramento or online at torchclub.net.
Seeing the community work that you do and have done has probably given you an opportunity to think a lot about how what what we can do. And so the fact that you're out in the rural spaces and in all kinds of places that people don't necessarily go out and engage with the public has probably given you an opportunity to learn a lot about what people need. If I wanted to be of service to the immigrants in my community, to show support, to show solidarity with them in their experience here, what could I do? What are things our listeners could do? What are the families who are here now, the individuals who are here now need, and what can we do to support folks?
That's a very good question. I think it leads me to the second thing that I also do is I try to connect with the young people, the ones that are, going to school, going to college. If they're immigrants, like they have, they're going through a situation that I went through, where now you get this degree, and so similar to how other young people struggle with is getting their foot in the door in certain places. Many of them are citizens and they don't know how to vote. So I try to reach out to them. I think all of us, not all of us, but many citizens here, like they have their parents that vote, so their parents teaches them how to vote. Many of these kids that are children of immigrants have never voted, don't know how to vote. And so I try to be that person that could help them. And I think for me, I'm in a position where I can reach many people, but for others, I think you need to start with your neighbor. If you have somebody, now I don't suggest going and asking your neighbor if they're an immigrant. Don't do that. Just, be a friendly
No.
neighbor. Just don't even assume. Just say, just even connecting with them, sharing a meal, inviting them over, trying to get the community feel first. And then if they tell you, hey, Sean, I'm an immigrant. Then if they tell you, hey, Sean, I'm undocumented. Well, okay, how can I help in this situation? But I think it just needs to first start with building that trust factor.
So know your neighbors. Just know your neighbors. Be a good neighbor first.
Exactly. And I suggest people, they also, I mean, if you can have like, if you're a teacher and you're in a classroom, if you have something saying like, I support immigrants, if you can get a bumper sticker, if you can wear a shirt saying like everyone's welcome, or there's just, you need to throw some signs out there to people that, so that they know that you're a safe person for them to reach out to. You don't have to start out with this awkward and weird conversation. I think you can start out with like that, showing your support in visible ways.
Yes. And then when somebody does, feel comfortable and confide in you, You know, I guess it was just like you would do with anybody, right? Like, it's really, people try to overcomplicate these things sometimes, right? Like,
right.
But really, like, you know, if you get to know your neighbors and your neighbor, whoever they are, comes to you and says, hey, you know what? You know, I'm in this situation and I could use some help, right? If you're a decent person, you're just going to be like, oh, how can I help you? And like, and you're going to do what you can and maybe enlist others to you know, join you. So much the way you got through college, right?
Like, right, exactly. And then this will help in the long run, you know, if in the maybe 10 years from now, we might pass some immigration law that allows people that have been here to apply. There's a need for character reference letters. You know, if you get to know your neighbor now, you know, 10 years, 5 years from now, you're able to write a letter for them in their for their opportunity to become a citizen, and you're able to do that. And so, like, that's also part of that too. It's just building connection with them so that maybe not now, maybe down the road, there might be an opportunity.
So, you know, there are organizations out there who are doing some really good, from what I can see, on the ground work, whether it's legal defense, whether it's going to court and making sure that people aren't snatched from their court hearings, you know, providing witnesses and basically showing up and be like, oh yeah, if you're going to come in here and snatch somebody from a hearing that they attended, you're going to have to do it in front of a lot of people who might try and stop you, right? There's that frontline work, there's backline work, donating, to, you know, obviously, I would imagine when people don't feel safe showing up at their job, right, there's probably all kinds of things that are downstream of that. Food insecurity, probably being chief among them. Are there, you know, good places, safe places that you've seen where immigrants who may be at risk popping their head up in a more, you know, community-oriented place? There are there people doing this kind of work that you know is are good and reliable and trustworthy that folks could give either money or you know items to, for lack of a better term?
There are. There's a few Latino Leadership Council that is here in Placer County would be one to look up and get connected with them. I don't know if they need anything. I know that they are a growing organization and are starting scholarships. I think they just recently launched one. And they also provide just support for families, specifically Latino families, immigrant or not. I think they're getting into the space where they're supporting more on the immigration side. But I think that's a good organization to look and to donate to. Of course, there's NorCal Resist, in which they are on the side that they have volunteers. They run their Migra Watch. They have a companion to go to court. They actually are the ones that are doing more of the direct like connection and specify more on the immigration law side. So they're also a great organization. They're out of Sacramento. Wonderful people that just do what they can. And they also do a lot of mutual aid to others, not just on the immigration side. But that's another organization that I always tell people that to, if they do want to donate to them.
Yeah, I think they even have like a mutual aid farm who raises produce. Yeah, and
They're out of the Sacramento area, which, you know, they do help here. But, you know, I've been wanting to do something here, especially in these rural areas. Like I have a big heart for the rural community, the rural areas here. I was born in a rural area in Mexico. So I think that's why my family chose this place, is because they found it to be similar to where they came from.
From the Roots Up is community radio that is sponsored by community businesses. If you'd like to join the growing list of folks who make this show possible, reach out to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at khi.com.
We're going to finish this conversation. You go, oh, God, I wish I had said this, that. What are the things that we haven't touched on that you would really want people to know about, whether it's about your journey or about the immigrant experience here or whatever, that You just think people should know on this topic that people would be surprised to know that maybe they don't get to hear every day. You know, we're all subjected. If you're on social media, you're subjected to a toxic soup of things that are untrue, rage based, lacking all love and humanity, So I feel like there's an opportunity maybe to bend things back the other way a little bit if we can.
Yeah, I think I kind of touched on it, but I think I feel like I should expand on it. And many of your listeners might already know, but if you don't, like, no problem. I think that's why we are talking about this. But the fact that, like, immigrants they don't qualify for any of the federal, like, benefits, Social Security. And I want to share, like, my grandparents' story, because I don't share anybody else's immigration story but myself. My grandparents have given me permission. It's who I grew up with. They raised me. I grew up without my mother and father, but I was blessed with multiple father figures and mother figures, and my grandparents were the main ones. But they worked here in the United States for now 30 years. My grandmother's retired, but they paid into the Social Security system, and they're not getting their Social Security, and they probably won't or never will. And I think it's just a reminder that we don't qualify for these things. I think actually I have a theory that so much of the rhetoric of, like, immigrants get this for free, immigrants get this for that, I feel like some people in other countries actually believe that when they try to come here. And I'm not saying that that's the only reason they come here, but I feel like because of this narrative, and I don't want to call it narrative, I guess I'll call it a lie, I really think that it's had an effect on even some of the people, that their thoughts on coming to this country, because it's not true.
Yeah,
there is some support for refugees. Refugees do, which are separate from immigrants. Refugees, of course, somebody that can't go back to the country. There's war torn, or they've been designated that they can be a refugee and can come here. There actually is financial support for them, more than what there is, and for good reason. But that's also a very small number. But majority just, we don't. Like, I grew up, like, I never went to the doctor. The physicals and my sports physicals were my checkups. I didn't get sick. I went to free clinics, maybe that provided, like, free dental once a year. Then I never went to the dentist. That's why I had to take good care of my teeth myself. I remember having, like, the worst toothache, but never being able to go. And, like, it, when I finally went years later, they were like, your teeth is just not there. I went through the whole pain of, like, the teeth dying. Then, like, it was bad. So whenever I hear that, like, oh, they were getting this and that, I mean, I try not to get angry, but it does sometimes get to me, because that's not true. If someone does, and I guess I'll get more specific, because there's always bad apples in every group of people. I think there are people that do get into the system, but it's not a large number. And whether that angers you or not, the majority are not. And so,
well, it's so hard and filled with danger, right? Like, if you do that, if you go that route and you do get, and you get caught because of it, you're going, you're leaving, you're getting deported. You're probably going to be forced to pay that money back. They're literally going to make you give as much of that back as they possibly can, and they're going to deport you. So the risk is really high, and the reward is kind of low, if you think about it. Like, it's not, and the work of doing it is really hard. Like, it's not easy to cheat the system. I can already hear your tune calling me across the room when the world and his wife are on my back again. Not enough pleasure, too much pain.
We all know that money spent on politicians is nothing more than a bribe. Citizens United called it free speech, but we know better. But what if we could balance the scale a few bucks at a time? That's what we're doing at the Six Pack, taking small donations and adding them up to make things more fair. Crack open some change. Support the Six Pack. Paid for by the Six Pack, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. www.thesixpack.com. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. If you love live music and want to be up close and personal with the band, there's only one place to go, the Torch Club. This hotspot is the place to be with two shows a day, Wednesday to Sunday. Check out the upcoming shows at torchclub.net or just drop by 904 15th Street in Sacramento. The Torch Club. There's always something happening.
Well, we've talked a lot about this, and I want to thank you again, Tomas, so much for all that you've shared. You've shared a lot of personal things. We've known each other quite a while. I haven't heard all the details of these stories. So for that, I feel like I've gotten to know you better tonight, which is amazing, actually, like after all this time we've spent together. It's been amazing. But I always try and leave, like, there's a lot of really challenging things we've talked about, you know, in this subject matter. And I always try and leave people in a place of action, of hope, of forward momentum, of what can we do together to make this situation better. What would you say? What would you try? What would you leave people with?
I've touched on many things people can do, but I just have to reemphasize the importance of reaching out to your neighbors and being visible, especially in this time. Like I mentioned, I don't think that many of us see that we are welcome or loved. And so I think just being more visible, it starts with that, because, you know, we're going through a difficult time and we're going to get through this. I first want to tell people, I said, we're going to get through this. But it's also important to inspire hope, inspire others, just the same way that I was inspired at a very young age. I mean, whenever we look at this situation going on nationally, I think it's always important to focus local, to focus in your own community. And if you're seeing somebody being harassed or ICE in the community, like, or even just law enforcement as well, because just stand there and witness and record, because that is going to make the difference, especially if immigration's in the area. I've had people say, like, I just stood there and watched and so that make sure that that person was safe. So all these, getting to know your neighbor and being a vocal advocate, and also just visibly supportive, also may create an effect where others may feel like, wow, look at this person. Like, I want to also be this beacon of hope and help others. Like, I think that it all builds on each other. And so I think if you think that your support doesn't matter, it does. It will build. And I think that's how we help each other. It's just being visible and showing up when we're needed.
Yeah, man. I love that where we're leaving it is be a good neighbor. Yeah. You know, because ultimately that is the basis of what all immigration policy ought to be, right? Be a good neighbor. Right. If your neighbor's house is burning down, call the fire department and grab a hose, right? Like, yes. And if their house is gone, let them in your house, give them some food, help them get back on their feet. Like, that's what you do for your neighbors. You would do it for anybody. So I think that's an amazing place to leave this conversation, Tomas. And I want to thank you so much for joining us here on From the Roots Up.
Thank you, Sean.
Well, that was amazing for me. It's great to have a conversation like this in depth with somebody that I've known for quite some time, where I learn even more about somebody I thought I knew really well. Isn't it also sweet when we find out that we can make a huge difference in our communities just by doing something we should be doing anyway, like be a good neighbor? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that simple pearl of wisdom could really get at a lot of the challenges we face, right? like, I know it sounds kind of naive or Pollyanna in a way to say that, but when you really think about it, what it means to know your neighbors, to relate with them, to break bread with them, to help them or to even be helped by them, to be vulnerable enough to allow somebody to help you. When those things happen, everything starts getting better, right? And it's such a small, close to home thing you can do. I also like the things that Tomas brought up, like let people know you're safe and you can be trusted. Get a shirt or a button or a bumper sticker, just so people know that they can trust you in a pinch. You know, of course, if you've gotten to know them, they probably already know that. What about when you're out in the world and someone needs help and they don't know where to look to find that help? Again, something you can do that's simple and almost free. And finally, don't forget to get out and support the people doing the good frontline work, particularly organizations like NorCal Resist. Go to their website, NorCal Resist, and check them out and find ways you can engage. They are a community-based organization doing everything with community money, community time, and community support. And if you're part of the community here in Northern California, they're a great organization to support. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of From the Roots Up. I'm Sean Frame, and I hope you'll engage me in a conversation. If you want to reach out to us, send an email to fromtherootsupshow@gmail.com.
Voy a manejar mi troca por la madrugada. No alcancé a despedirme porque no pensaba que la muerte me esperaba, me tomó del brazo. Gracias por sus oraciones, ya estoy descansando, descansando, recordando todo lo bueno de la vida que fui gozando. Voy a abrazar a mi padre cuando sople el viento. Voy a besar a mi madre cuando llueva recio. No olvidaré a mis pequeñas, mi mayor tesoro. Carnal, cuídalas, es lo que pide este morro. Él fue Arturo, por seguro. Les prometo que estaré en cualquier segundo. Desde el cielo yo los veo. La clica que no me extrañe, pues acá nos vemos. Y este corridito se da hasta la H. Descansa en paz, mi compa Arturo. Pura fuerza rígida, viejo. ¡Otro pedo! Hoy tomaré una cerveza junto a mis panas. Compa Federico, saben que hubo buenas charlas. Mi troca la más chingona en todo Houston, Texas. Ya no podré pilotearla, lo que más me pesa, pues me pesa su belleza. Las carreras, las llantas, el humo y vida recia. Carnal Alan, cabrón, llévatela más tranquilo. Los cuatro en la bola saben que fui buen amigo. Cuando suenen los motores de las mamalonas, recuerden al Arturillo con toda la bola. Ya es la hora que me vaya. Tal vez no regrese, pero antes que parta les recuerdo que los quiero. Me fui bien alegre montado en mi Ramfla. A huevo viejo.